Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
2 hours down, 2 hours to go here on 97.3 The Fan. I'm Matt Scraby, filling in for Gwynn and Chris. They are off for today. They will be back on Monday. Chris is going to have to tell us the story of him officiating a wedding because I can't even really imagine how it's going to go. And he keeps doing this thing to his godson where he sends a new player picture with their number, and he's counting down the days until his wedding. And so Chris started at like 30 and then sent him a new person every single day with the number that reflected how many days left. And Connor apparently has not understood it yet. I don't think I would understand it either. Just random Uncle Chris sending me pictures on a daily basis that of old athletes, but that is actually something that Chris does. We're going to play some Klug versus the Fans here in just a second because we got a qualification to Las Vegas. Also, a little bit later, we have the Big Five, and I'm going to recap everything. The last 3 weeks it's been for the San Diego Padres. I'll do that at 5 o'clock, and then we'll hear from Elzie Harrington of the Aztecs basketball team, freshman. And we'll do that at 5:40. So thank you to Jake Ariani for coming in. Thank you to Kirk Kenny for coming in. If you missed any part of that, you can go to the YouTube, type in 97.3 The Fan, or you can go to Gwynn and Chris SD and go back in time a little bit. But
Odyssey app.
Sorry, I had you down. Go ahead.
You can also find everything on demand on the Odyssey app.
You can. We chapter each and every day. So meaning, and you know what? I've met a few people that really love this feature, and I think it is actually really cool, where you go into the show, and it breaks down each segment and what you're talking about, and you click, and it'll take you exactly to that segment. So good call, Adam. Odyssey app should be on the top of everyone's mind. All right. Klug versus the Fans, we are going to be playing for a grand prize, which is a trip to Las Vegas, and it's a trip for two to see Sammy Hagar in Las Vegas, including two tickets to the March 20th show, a two-night stay at Park MGM, and a $100 gas card. Sammy Hagar returns to Las Vegas with his Best of All Worlds Las Vegas residency. Get ready to rock with your favorite hits from the Van Halen years, Sammy solo hits, and more only in Las Vegas this March 11th through the 21st and September 18th through the 26th at Dolby Live at Park MGM. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. We have one line open, so if you've never played before, call us 833-288-0973. You're taking on Adam Klug.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question's going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it, I'm Ron Burgundy, and Adam gets it right, you are eliminated. If Adam gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, thank you. Let us know before the first question. You'll get that question for free today. Let's go.
We should
to
try it again. First time.
Oh, if you are a first-time player, that was much better. Much better. Make sure you let us know because I had someone tell me one day I was a first-time player. You gotta let us know, or else we can't give you that first question for free. Let's go to our first contestant, and that would be Cole. Cole is a chatter. Hello, Cole.
Hi, Cole.
Hello.
Hello. Are you ready to play?
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. Right. Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Here we go, Cole. Question number one. What NFL team is the only team to have one win this season?
The Raiders?
The Raiders.
Incorrect. Stay there, Cole, just in case. Adam, what NFL team is the only team to have only one win this season?
It's not the Jets. It's not the Dolphins. It's not the Saints, is it? That actually might be my guess. Hold tight.
Hold tight.
I'm just going through all the bad teams. I'll go with my absolutely hated rival, the New Orleans Saints.
The New Orleans Saints. Wow, they've won two games.
I told you I didn't think it was the right answer.
The Titans have only won one game. They also fired their coach earlier
this year.
I really
just wanted to take a jab at the Saints.
Hey, that's fine with me. We move on to the next question. I mean, we should be taking jabs at the Saints. Why not? Cole, ready to go for question number two?
Yep.
Drake May played quarterback at what school?
Duke.
Oh, no. I'll give you another go, because you
wow,
stopped yourself.
UNC.
UNC is correct. I know the chat is going to be very upset with me after that,
wow.
But I may have been too nice on that one. Anyway, I think this one is going to be a real test. So here's question number three, Cole.
I don't know if I'm disappointed I didn't get the Titans or if I just was happy to take a shot at the Saints.
Both. Cole, who was the last Georgia football player to win the Heisman?
Georgia football player to win the Heisman.
Yes, the last one. You can also pass if you don't have an answer.
That's the new
invoke
strategy. I mean,
the mystery of Georgia himself.
Sorry, what?
Mr. Georgia himself.
I'm just talking about a Georgia college football player. Yeah, University of Georgia. Which one won the Heisman last?
I'm going to pass.
Okay, he's going to pass. And this is the in vogue thing, Adam. Everybody likes to pass. But I wrote this question because I knew Adam was going to be doing this.
With a Georgia grad in here, huh?
But I don't know that you would remember this. What's the answer?
Are you crazy?
I don't know.
Herschel Walker.
Okay, he didn't even hesitate, so there you go. I'm sorry, Cole.
I don't know who the last Jordan... I think there's only been two winners. Frank Sinkwich would be the other one.
Frank Sinkwich. I thought like maybe someone would think Matthew Stafford won it.
Nope.
They've had some great football players come through recently. Nope. All right.
That was a first round question.
That was a first round question. Okay, I got to rethink my questions.
For me at least. I mean, come on, I'm... Georgia grad.
Excuse me. Yes, you are a Georgia grad. You love your Georgia Bulldogs. And let's go to Steven. Hello, Steven.
Hello.
Ready to play?
Yeah. Frank Sinkwich won the Heisman in 1942. He's the only other Georgia player to win the Heisman.
All right. Adam knew more about the Heisman than I thought.
I feel like
you are the human almanac. All right. What? Let's do this one. Where did Josh Allen play college football?
Josh Allen, somewhere like North Dakota?
North Dakota.
Now, am I supposed to pretend like Chris does? Like, this is a hard one. Wyoming.
Yes, I'm sorry about that, Steven. Wyoming is the correct answer. That's where Josh Allen played college football.
Can't have the segment end that early, right?
No, you're right.
We got to get these.
We did the right thing. Let's go to the next contestant. You know what? Let's go to our guy, Brandon. Hello, Brandon.
What up, guys? How are you?
Pretty good.
Welcome to the show.
I know you are ready. So here we go. Question number one. What team did the Aztecs basketball team lose to in the opening round of last year's NCAA tournament?
That's another UNC question.
That is correct. Lots of UNC going around these days. All right, we move to question number two.
Supposed to be in the tournament, right?
Who won AL Rookie of the Year this year?
The guy in Sacramento, Nick Kurtz.
Nick Kurtz is correct. Nice job.
Incredible rookie season.
He did. I loved it when he had four home runs for my fantasy team.
Surprised you didn't ask who won it in the NL.
Well, Drake Baldwin won it in the NL.
Braves.
Yes. And we talked about this yesterday a little bit, or 2 days ago on the Scraby Show. The Braves get a first-round pick because he won Rookie of the Year, which is kind of crazy to me.
Oh, is that because
the rich
called
get
them up early?
Yeah, because they didn't wait the 6 weeks to manipulate service
time. I don't remember
what
that's called, that program that they have.
It's a prospect
promotion
incentive or something. Good for them, Adam says. All right, Brandon.
I am wearing a Padres hat, by the way, for anyone who's not watching on YouTube.
It's okay. Question number three, Brandon. All right, where did New York Jets head coach Aaron Glenn finish his college playing career?
Woo! There is no way.
I'm going to pass, and I hope it's not Georgia.
He said he's going to pass, but he hopes it's not Georgia. Adam, where did Aaron Glenn finish his college football career?
Finished. Does that mean he transferred?
Yes.
Boy, this is a really difficult question.
I put it in there because...
I'm an NFL draft nut. I mean,
I put it in there because they played last night. They talked about Aaron Glenn a bunch. I don't know if they mentioned this,
I didn't watch with the volume on, although I watched a lot of the game last night. I truly don't know this. This is a guess. I will go with Ohio State.
The Ohio State University.
We have a winner.
We have a winner, Brandon. Stay right there. We're going to get your information.
When did he go to school?
The answer is... Texas A&M.
I would have never gotten
Texas
that.
A&M. Let me just look up real quick where Aaron Glenn
having a truly horrifyingly bad season. Debut season.
Do you think he's going to get fired? I hope not.
No, I don't think he's going to get fired. The owner's already come out and like expressed
Woody Johnson.
Yeah, but like you know the whole thing of how he made Aaron Rodgers fly across the country just to get rid of him, and like now he looks like a laughingstock. Like,
yeah. Well, you know what's kind of funny is that I had a segment all about Woody Johnson coming up next. And what did the NFL players say about Woody Johnson? We'll
can't
tell
wait to
you
find out.
On the other side, 97.3. The Fan. Traffic will be later in this break.
This National Veterans and Military Families Month, Verizon would like to show our appreciation for those that serve. Military and veteran families can get mobile plans starting at just $25 per line per month.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Football Talk on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Adam Klug is in here. We just played Klug versus the Fans, and he's giving me a hard time that I asked him a Georgia question as the number three question.
Not just that you asked it, but that you thought it would stump me. You were legitimately surprised when I got the answer right.
I wasn't sure what was going to happen, but Adam got it. That should have been a number one question for Adam. I you know what? I can't mess with super hardcore college football fans because... super hardcore college football fans are 100% crazy about their sport and their team, and they know everything. So, duly noted, congratulations to Brandon for qualifying for the Sammy Hagar trip to Las Vegas. Okay, so we just talked about the Jets. We talked about owners. We talked about this yesterday. The NFL would like for the NFL Players Association to stop doing report cards on each team publicly. And so you can, if you didn't know, you can go online, type in 2025 NFL report card, and the Players Association website will come up, and it will show you everything that you need to know for each team. And so I thought this is like one of my favorite things about the NFL season. I love it when these report cards come out, and I love seeing the different teams, and I love seeing the teams that win, even though they have poor conditions and all that stuff. But we now found out who was the one who was asking for these report cards to not come out publicly, and that would be none other than Jets owner Woody Johnson. Now, Woody Johnson, I mean, this guy has had a year. He's had a couple years. He's been in the news for all of the wrong things. It seems to me that Woody Johnson has just lost touch with all reality. But this dude called out a couple weeks ago Justin Fields in front of everyone, and then he wonders why he was rated the worst owner in the NFL by players last season. And he wants it to all be a secret because everybody rates the team terribly and poorly. And so Woody Johnson is trying hard to hide all of this stuff. And I don't know if it's going to work or not. I know that the NFL actually filed a grievance with the NFLPA about this. But because Woody Johnson is so embarrassed about his report card in 2025, I decided that we're going to go through and we're going to look at some of the things in the report card. Because When you're trying, you know, everything starts at the top, and I buy into that more and more as I get older, because if you don't have good ownership or good leadership, you're not going to have the most organized team. You're not going to have a well-running machine that some of these NFL franchises are. But the Jets in 2024 overall score were 21st out of all of the 32 teams amongst their votes from players. This last year, 2025, 29th overall. So they dropped 8 spots. And here's where it's hilarious to me, because it says in the overview on the website, rather than addressing concerns, players believe that management responded to feedback by making conditions worse. For example, after receiving low grades for their food program last year, players felt the team cut the food budget and did not retain their long-time dietitian, who was previously their highest-rated staff member. Notably, that former dietitian then took a full-time role with the Kansas City Chiefs, contributing to significant improvements in their food programs and dietitian grades. Now, the players are saying that the dietitian was fine. It's just they're not getting the same thing. They also cite perceived top leadership issues, with some of the players describing the Jets' issues as top-down problems. So the ownership went from a B-minus, what players rated it in 2024, all the way down to an F, with Woody Johnson receiving the league's lowest owner score for contributing to a positive team culture. So his players don't even think that he has their back. And so maybe that's why there's so many issues with the Jets organization. Maybe that's why they just can't find a winner, or they can't field a winning team. They haven't done it in a long time. And this year is one of the worst. We were talking about Aaron Glenn. It has been a really, really tough season for him. But here's some of the ratings that caught my attention. When you look at the locker room, D+, rated 26th out of the 32 teams. Some of the things that were asked about: 73% of players feel they have enough room in their individual lockers. 72% of the players feel the locker room size is adequate. So that's not the worst thing, but they are ranked 25th out of the 32 teams for the adequate size of the locker room. Players believe the locker room needs to be updated, so they gave it a D+. The training room, they got a C, which is a very important part of the organization. Also, the training staff got a C. Strength coaches, you know, they have good. They're B+. Team travel, They were right in the middle, so it's not terrible to travel. But the ownership. Here's what they said about the ownership. Owner Woody Johnson's average rating for perceived willingness to invest in the facilities is 5.58 out of 10 from Jets players, which is 32 of 32 owners in the league. The players feel that Johnson does not contribute to a positive team culture, a rank of 32 out of 32. The players feel that Johnson is somewhat committed to building a competitive team, and that ranks 31 of 32 teams. So I bring all this up because we don't live in this day and age anymore where you could just hide things. Woody Johnson for a long time could have hid all these things. It wasn't easily accessible on the internet like it is now, and it exposes owners for being bad owners, and that's why he doesn't want this out there. He wants to do his own thing, and he wants people to like it. I think if I was a player, I would probably be really upset that he called out Justin Fields as publicly as he did, because that's just something you don't see owners do. You don't see them coming out and talking so poor or so bad about a player while he's still on the team and your starter, that if I'm a teammate of Justin Fields, I'm like watching my back, because Woody Johnson does not have my back at all. At all. What are you thinking, Adam? Do you think that, like, Woody Johnson has a leg to stand on here with trying to get this stuff hidden?
No, I think he's one of the worst owners in all of professional sports. They've got the longest playoff drought in the NFL, and it starts from the top down. And they've cycled through coaches, they've cycled through quarterbacks, and general managers. It all permeates from ownership.
It does. Another thing that the Jets are ranked along with the other teams, they're right there with the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns are one of the worst teams in the NFL. They rank 30th of 32 teams. And so you can just see that the one thing that always surprises me every single time is that the Kansas City Chiefs give their team and their facilities low ratings, but they still end up going deep in the playoffs, going to the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl every single year. They rated in 2025 their locker room a D-, their training room a C-, their training staff C. So they're winning even though they don't have the best facilities or anything like that. If you're playing for the Vikings, you get A's across the board if you're a Vikings player, because A-plus treatment of families, A-minus food and dining area, A-plus locker room, A-minus training room. And the Vikings the last few years have been a good team. And if you look through, you can tell which teams are good on a year-in, year-out basis. 49ers, B-plus in certain things. Seattle Seahawks, A-minus in their treatment of families. They have really high scores with their coaches. But really, this all comes down to Woody Johnson being embarrassed that he is not putting in the money and putting in the time and putting in the work to build a team into a winner. And he's going to blame everybody else, because that's what Woody Johnson does. He blames everybody else. Where he's one of those old school owners who's like, I have all the money. You should be lucky that I'm paying you to play for me, and you will like whatever I give you. And that's just not how it goes anymore. We don't do that anymore. There's no such thing as my way or the highway in professional sports franchises, in my opinion, because ultimately the players hold all the power. And when you're a player and you have one opportunity to, you know, air your grievances about your own team, this NFLPA yearly report card is the place to do that. So I don't know if the NFL is going to ban this, or if they're going to stop allowing it to be released publicly. Maybe it's just a private thing, but I really hope that they don't ban this, because that would be bad. That would just basically tell everyone that, hey, you can be a bad owner and you can hide behind all of your bad owner decisions. It's just Woody Johnson needs to go. He needs to step down. He'll never do that. The Jets are not a team that's going to be a serious team until Woody Johnson is gone. Same goes with Steven Ross. Even though the Miami Dolphins rate highly every single year, they were actually in 2025, they were the first out of all teams. So in that case, you can have a really great situation, but you're still not winning. So basically, I say all of this to say, Woody Johnson, don't be such a baby. Put some money into it, get your scores up, and then go out there and tell everyone, hey, I care about my players. I care about everyone. But he's not doing that. He's going to do his Woody Johnson thing, and he's going to ask the NFL to make sure the NFLPA does not release these report cards anymore. But I had fun going through all of that. So that is the latest on Woody Johnson and his report cards. I'm Matt Scraby. This is the Gwynn and Chris program here on 97.3 The Fan. Gwynn and Chris back on Monday. When we get back, we have the Big Five. The all MLB teams have been released, and I want to see if Adam has any sort of grievances with the all MLB team list. Adam's going to join me for the Big Five, and that's next on 97.3 The Fan. All guests on 97.3 The Fan join us on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorney, is helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Matt Scraby here with you, filling in for Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. I got Adam Klug here with me. We still got the Big Five, which is coming up next at 5 o'clock. We're going to kind of recap everything that's happened with the Padres in the last few weeks. And then at 5:20, I believe I'm going to bring up what Ben and Woods talked about this morning on their show. And they talked about potential ownership. They talked about potentially people who might be interested in it. And so I want to expound on that just a little bit. But right now, we have a Big Five that's going to be Scraby and Klug. It's going to be awesome. But first, your traffic.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Before we get into it, if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. All right, we are into the Big Five. Adam, hit the first number.
Number five.
By the first number, you mean number five.
Thank you.
I give you a hard time about this every time.
Yes, it's but pulling the curtain back for 1 second. We don't know why the Big Five has always started with five and gone to one.
It makes sense in the countdown to start from five.
But not the Big Five. It should be one through
five. Story number one, story number two.
I get it. Should we reverse this? I think maybe we should reverse it. We could do that. It's not a big deal.
You do you.
But today we start with number five. And the all MLB teams were released yesterday. And this year, no Padres made the list, which I think is understandable. But there was a guy who may have been snubbed, and that is Adrian Morejon. He was probably snubbed. They had instead in the first team, they had Aroldis Chapman, and then they had Duran from the Phillies.
So are you saying you think Morejon was the Padres' best reliever? If you think he was the
snub? I'm thinking he was second team. Yeah, I would think he was Padres' best reliever.
Over Mason Miller, over Robert Suarez?
I don't think Mason Miller played long enough with the Padres. It doesn't really matter because he played for the A's too. I don't think he...
It's the all-MLB team, right?
Sorry?
You said it's all MLB team, right?
Yeah, all MLB.
So, I mean, Mason Miller's the best or second best reliever in baseball, right? He should be on that team.
They didn't put him on the team. The second team.
I'll let you read your question. Sorry, go ahead.
It's Diaz and Andres Munoz, which I think Munoz was good enough to be on the first team.
He's great.
But really, my question to you, Adam, is outside of maybe Adrian Morejon not being a part of this, or Robert Suarez not being a part of this, or Mason Miller, do you think any other Padre deserve to be on the list?
I think you could certainly make a case for Fernando Tatis Jr. Did he finish? I can't remember if it was 7th or 8th in NL MVP voting. Obviously won the Platinum Glove. His defense is incredible. He robbed, 11 million home runs out in right field. And he's an all-around player, right? He didn't lead the league in home runs by any stretch of the imagination. But what I'm saying is he's a five-tool player. Power and speed. He really made improvements and had great strides this year in his plate discipline. Mm-hmm. In drawing more walks and increasing his on-base percentage. So I'm not saying I understand why he didn't win it. But if you ask who at least deserved consideration, my pick would have been Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, because you have Cody Bellinger, who won the second team. Corbin Carroll and PCA. And then for the first team...
Outfield's tough, though. I mean, there's a lot of
outfield's really outfield, tough. For the first team, you have to go through the MVP, Aaron Judge. And then you have to go through Julio Rodriguez. And then you have to go through Juan Soto, which you can't have an award season without Juan Soto being mentioned everywhere, even though he did have a great season.
I think J-Rod's a little overrated, if you ask me.
I'm a little bit on your side there.
I don't even think he deserved to make the All-Star team. Now, granted, he had a great second half. And so that impacts this discussion we're having. But when we're judging who makes the All-Star team based on their first half, his first half was not very good.
Very true. Some of the other players that made the All-MLB team, obviously Shohei was the DH. We're going to talk about the MVP a little bit in the next segment. Bobby Witt Jr., shortstop on the first team. Jose Ramirez, Ketel Marte, Vlad Jr., Cal Raleigh, who did not win an MVP. Pitchers for the first team, Garrett Crochet, Max Fried, Paul Skeens, Tarek Skubal, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And we've already talked about the relieving pitchers. But I think Adam's right there. Fernando is probably the only other one. A Platinum Glove's a big deal. This All-MLB team, though, is voted half by the Major League Baseball people and then half by fans. I think it's time to remove the fans as a part of the equation. I would much rather players...
Say fans don't know ball?
I'm saying they don't know ball like managers of teams do, because those are the guys that are voting. I think the All-Star vote is fine to have fans involved, but when you're giving away awards like this that are going to stand through the test of time, I don't know the fans should be involved.
I'm not sure first and second team of all MLBs are awards that stand the test of time. This is a new thing, isn't it?
Didn't they just
start doing it?
Yeah, they did like four or five years ago.
Account when we're making Hall of Fame votes? No, we use MVP, we use champions, and we use statistics.
On my deathbed, Adam, I'm going to say Fernando should have been on the 2025 All-MLB team.
Number four.
Disney CEO Bob Iger, which we have learned a little bit more, and we're going to try to get to that later, but Disney CEO Bob Iger said the company is, quote, working tirelessly to close the deal with YouTube TV, expressing hope for a timely resolution to allow subscribers access to Disney content, which does include Monday Night Football, college football, and anything ESPN is behind. Iger asserted that Disney's demanded deal terms are equal to or better than those accepted by other major distributors and reflect the greater value that Disney delivers. The carriage dispute is costly, though. Morgan Stanley analysts estimate Disney is losing about $30 million per week in revenue during the blackout. People are angry about this.
They're not going to be angry for any longer.
Did this just update?
Breaking news, Andrew Marchand from The Athletic. YouTube TV and Disney have agreed to a deal that will restore ESPN and other channels to the service after a two-week hiatus. Okay. Right in the middle of your question.
Seriously. All right, let's scrap everything I just talked about. No, I think in this case, I'll be up first. Who looks worse in this situation? I think Disney does, because Disney is trying to control the world. And Disney is trying to scoop up as many properties as they possibly can. I believe they made in the third quarter revenue, $22 billion. That's in revenue for 3 months. They do not need any more money. And I know that
they do not need any more money. The least American thing I've ever heard.
I know. I'm a, I like capitalism, but I don't like it when you have a bajillion dollars. And
these are
not,
for-profit companies, Grave.
They are for-profit companies. I get it. But you know what you're doing? You're hurting the consumer. And that's what I don't like. Because you know who texted me 2 weeks in a row? Will Galvez. We were talking about the Monday Night Football game. He used to work on the station. He said, well, it'd be nice if I could see it. People are angry about this.
I feel like I've got a pretty good perspective on the whole
Let's hear
YouTube
it.
TV ESPN standoff. And it's that ESPN is very much at fault for what's going on, in my opinion. They are the most expensive channel by leaps and bounds for any cable provider to carry. But they don't get the blame, I don't think, for the Karen's dispute. I think everybody who's got YouTube TV is just mad at YouTube TV and yelling, hey, YouTube TV, get it done. Get me ESPN back. And a lot of people are either threatening to leave or are actually leaving UTV and are mad at YouTube TV, when in actuality, it's ESPN that charges an insane premium to YouTube TV and all the other carriers to carry their channel, yet they don't receive the blowback or the ire of fans. They just say, get it done. We want ESPN back, when, you know, ESPN's charging an arm and a leg to carry their channel.
Yeah, I did
That's
read.
My perspective.
No, that's a good perspective.
As a non-YouTube TV, but I've... you know, I don't subscribe to them, but I've had plenty of other providers who have had carriage disputes in the past.
Oh, yeah. It seems like we have a new one of these things like every couple months. But like Smash the Number said on the chat, I got the $20 credit from YouTube TV. You had to do it online proactively. So they are giving out credits for missing out on time. But I think, you know, that's interesting. This is an ESPN problem. It's not a YouTube. I always thought it was not a YouTube TV problem, but ESPN should be more on the hook for this stuff.
Number three.
The NFL's 2025 kickoff rule change has backfired because they moved the touchback to the 35-yard line to encourage dynamic kickoffs. And after years of minimizing the play due to injury risk, the new rule dramatically increased returns of kicks from 31.7% last year to 79.3% through week 7 of this year.
That's kind of big.
That's huge. This increase unsurprisingly led to more injuries, specifically concussions. League data obtained by The Athletic shows the concussion rate per 100 kickoffs jumped from 0.29 to 1.48, which is massive. A rate 5 times higher than the baseline for just a regular scrimmage play. So the kickoff is the most dangerous play on the football field.
We already knew that.
Adam, what's the solution for the kickoff? I personally love the dynamic kickoff, but what is the solution?
What's the solution? Depends on what you're trying to solve. Are you trying to keep players healthy, or are we trying to put the entertaining product out there? If you're trying to have player safety in mind, what's the solution? Get rid of the kickoff. I mean, it's exciting, but like, how often is there a good return? Almost never.
No, but
they take it out of the end zone or whatever, and they run it back to the 22-yard line. Great. Not exciting. Waste clock. Gets people hurt.
So just give the ball, give the other team the
Everyone
ball at the 30-yard line?
Or at the 25, whatever.
Okay.
That's the solution if you're trying to keep players healthy in one of the most dangerous sports we have. Take out the most dangerous play that also yields very little reward.
I find that to be a very rational take.
That's what I generally have is rational.
Yes, I don't.
Just like I would get rid of the onside kick. And make you go for it. You get 4th and 20, let's call it.
I'm with that, too.
You have a higher percentage chance of converting that, and it's more exciting.
The onside kick is the most worthless play in football because, like, 1 out of 100 is recovered.
Let's all line up 10 yards in front of each other and run at each other.
Here's what I think. If the NFL is so concerned, and we've said this before, why are they trying to go to an 18-game schedule? I mean...
Oh, but that's why I asked you the question. The NFL isn't actually concerned.
No, they're not concerned.
Forget the NFL, the 18-game schedule. Thursday night football is the, like, there's no justification for it whatsoever. The product is terrible, and it's completely unsafe.
It is. Last night's game was not fun to watch. I think the solution is they're going to have to remove the kickoff. I think that's what it is. If they're going to try to protect their players, that's the only thing. It went from 32% returns to almost 80 in 1 year. So I don't want to see guys get concussions. Just get rid of the kickoff.
Number two.
ESPN is ordering several...
Another ESPN story.
Yes. Oh, man.
Maybe hates ESPN breaking news.
I guess I get it. Well, Yeah, Chris isn't here, so I can talk all the trash I want about ESPN. It's ordering several on-air talents like Dan Orlovsky, Kendrick Perkins, Mina Kimes, and Laura Rutledge to cut their marketing ties to this controversial Papaya Gaming per Front Office Sports.
Stephen A.
Smith is the primary guy of Papaya's ad campaign, promoting the solitaire game with a Beat Steven challenge, but news emerged of a federal lawsuit accusing the company of falsely marketing games of skill and employing, quote, tailored bots to control the outcomes of tournaments, end quote. What is the lesson of this? I'm going to go to you first because you're a boss man. You would have to make a ruling on something.
Did you say
that
they are or are not making Stephen A. gear?
Oh, they are,
okay.
I believe.
So it's not just the others and he gets to get away with it.
Yes.
What's the lesson? You have to do research and know what kind of company you're going into business with and becoming a partner with. I mean, it's the same way here at 97.3 The Fan when we bring sponsors aboard or when, you know, look, all of the on-air talent here have endorsements as well. You know, you hear Chris with Spiro's and Ben and Woods with 7 Mile Casino. Like, if 7 Mile Casino were some shady operation that was linked with the mafia, like, we wouldn't be doing business with them. But they aren't. That they're a terrific casino, and we've got a long-standing relationship with them. And all my point is, you can't get become partners and get into bed with a company without knowing who you're getting into bed with.
I should update this. I read it wrong. Stephen A. Smith is allowed to keep it, while everybody else is not.
That's a bigger issue.
That's a bigger issue.
That's a gigantic. Now, that's really what the question should be: is why does he get to continue endorsing the app while everybody else can't? That's going to sow division within your on air talent that he gets to get away with something. He's got preferential treatment because he's, you know, the highest paid talent at ESPN.
Yeah, I can't get behind this. I mean, Stephen A. Smith he's becoming too big. He's become too much. Like, he's everywhere. And I don't necessarily need Stephen A. Smith on my phone, but why would Stephen A. Smith want to be involved with a company like this?
You don't want ESPN making money, and you'd think ESPN, Stephen A. Smith's too big.
All you
have to do is not consume his content.
I don't.
If you don't. So then.
But why would Stephen A. Smith ever want to be involved with this? It's known as a fake, a bad app.
All signs point to money.
It's always coming back.
But Stephen A's got enough money, right? He doesn't need all the money, right?
Well, he better have a lot of money. He's supposedly running for president soon.
Number one.
This is the third MVP for Aaron Judge, and he's putting himself into rarefied air. We're going to talk more about that a little bit later, probably. Has Aaron Judge done enough, Adam, to be in the Hall of Fame already?
Yes, he has. He's the second most dominant player of the last decade behind Shohei Ohtani. He should be getting the Barry Bonds treatment the way Ohtani did in the playoffs. An on-base percentage, his OBP is over 400, his slugging is outrageous. He's not only the most feared power hitter, even more so than Ohtani, but he also has the talent and contact ability to win a batting title.
Yeah, I mean, he hit .331, I believe, last year.
He's incredible. We looked at the numbers before the show, and he'll likely get to 500 career home runs. Now, he blossomed a little bit later in his career than other players, so I don't know that he's going to reach 600 or obviously beyond that, but I think he'll hit 500 home runs. And while I'm not saying he'll make the Hall of Fame because he's hitting 500 home runs, I'm not saying it's an automatic thing anymore. I'm saying he's already a Hall of Famer, and the cherry on top will be that he will also hit 500 home runs.
Yeah, the MVP vote last night, we didn't actually talk about it and break it down, but Aaron Judge got 17 first place votes. Cal Raleigh got 13. So it wasn't like a complete run over like Ohtani did to the rest of the National League, but Judge, his third MVP overall, second consecutive. He's the 13th player to be named MVP at least three times. He's got to be a Hall of Famer already. Shohei Ohtani's already a Hall of Famer.
Shohei Ohtani's the greatest baseball player of all time. And I don't even think that's a hot take.
You're going to upset all of the Babe Ruth people.
Have any of them actually seen Babe Ruth play? I don't even think it's close. I'm not saying he's the most accomplished. I'm not saying he doesn't have the home runs.
Yeah.
And the statistics, the volume of statistics. He's the most talented baseball player of all time. And I don't even think it's up for debate.
I can't 100% disagree with you because of some of the things that he's been doing. New Balance tweeted out or posted a picture of a unicorn when he won his MVP, and that's what he is. He is. No one else is going to do what he can do. He stole 59 bases last year. I know he slowed down a little bit this year.
He's the second best hitter in baseball and also an all-star pitcher.
Although he did show that he has weaknesses in the playoffs because he did not have a good performance in the playoffs, but they still won, so it doesn't really matter.
Small sample size.
Small sample size, but that's when it matters. Clayton Kershaw is going to go down as like one of the worst.
But Clayton Kershaw is over a long period of time. Shohei Ohtani doesn't have like stacked poor postseasons.
I also just think sometimes, like, how did the Angels mess this up with Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani on the same team? How?
An extremely dysfunctional organization.
That is absolutely
They don't
right.
get credit. The Angels don't get credit for being, like, in the category of, sorry, Clay, in the South Bay, close your ears, Elon Musk, the Cleveland Browns, the Raiders, the Commanders, some of those types of organizations, but the Angels belong in that category.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Pretty bad. All right, that's it for the Big Five. Thank you very much, Adam Klug, for being a part of that. When we get back here, final hour of the show, I'm Matt Scraby, filling in for Gwen and Chris. But I want to break down everything that's happened in the last 3 weeks or so for the Padres, because there's been a lot, and I want to go through it. And I also want to tell you something that I looked up earlier. I am a phrase, and I will tell you what that phrase is when I get back here on 97.3.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.